Morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
Morning.
Let's turn first of all to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And we read verses 15 and 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Verse 16, we'll read it again. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, keep your Bibles open, because we're going to read quite a number of scriptures this morning. I have recently really thinking about our Tuesday night prayer meetings very much, and the Lord led me that perhaps we should share something on praying one Sunday morning. So here I am, I want to share with you something about praying. I'm sure that we all pray, and I hope we all have a healthy prayer life. We know that as Christians we have a privilege, and that privilege is that we have somebody we can pray to. We have someone to whom we can trust, our Heavenly Father, and He is one who really likes His children to come before Him and pray. That's why in this verse 16 here it says, let us therefore come boldly, that is, without any fear or hindrance, to the throne of grace, to God, that we may obtain mercy, and in times of need, we may find grace at the throne of grace. This is God's love to us. He has given that privilege to pray for Him. And I think this morning I would like to share some basic issues I've recently thought about praying. I think before I start, I should really say that far be it for me to teach you how to pray. I think the Lord teaches you how to pray, and I have to learn how to pray too. So I'm just sharing these thoughts to encourage brothers and sisters to see how important praying is in our lives. Before I go on, really, there are one or two things which I think we all need to be clear about and get it out of the way, so that it is the foundation of our praying life. And the first one is that we thank the Lord that we have a God, as we just said, to whom we can pray. You know, not only Christians pray, there are other people, other religions, there are pagans who also pray, but they pray to idols, idol worshipping. They pray to objects which are man-made with man's hands. But we pray to God, who is the creator of all things. That is our privilege, and that is special to us. The psalmist wrote that, you know, these pagans, these idol worshippers, they pray to a God, an idol, where their eyes cannot see, their nose cannot smell, their mouth cannot eat, their ears cannot hear, and so on and so forth. But we have a living God who delights in His children to pray for us. So that is the very basis of our prayer. Otherwise, what is the point if we pray to somebody who won't listen to us, or who cannot, who is not almighty, then our prayers will be in vain. So this is something very basic whenever we talk about praying, that we know that we are praying to a living God, a God who really listens, a God who delights in us coming to this throne of grace in time of need and to find grace there. The other thing is that this is relating to the object, the God whom we pray. The other thing is about ourselves. We need to have some moral conditions in our hearts, I think, before our prayers would be right before God. And one of these is that we need to have a very obedient heart. We need to have an absolutely obedient attitude towards God. And in John, let's turn to John 15:7, and we see what it says there. John 15:7. John 15:7. If you abide in me, this is what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, all right? If you abide in me, and my word abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. If you abide in me and in the Lord, and the Lord's words will abide in you, then whatever you ask, what you desire, it shall be done to you. This is the Lord's promise to us. He himself tells us that if our prayers are to be answered, then there is one condition, that we abide in him, in his words, and then whatever we want, we desire in our hearts, it shall be done to you. So if we are to have our prayers answered, we need to have this very close relationship with the Lord. We abide in his words, and he will abide in us. Abiding in his words meaning to obey, to listen to what he has to say. And what he has to say is in the Bible, in the scriptures, of course. So we have to have a very obedient attitude to his words. Whatever is said in the Bible, that is something, so far as I am concerned, so far as you are concerned, so far as God's children are concerned, we need to obey. In other words, our eyes need to be very focused on him if we were to look for answers to our prayers. So that is the first thing I think we need to do. We will never hope to come to a situation where God will listen to us if we do not listen to his word. So that is very important and very basic. And the other factor I think we need in our prayer life is also that we need to have a very good conscience, very upright mind. In other words, a right relationship with God. When we come to him and pray, we need to have a good conscience in us. And there again, we will come to turn to Hebrew 13 and find what he says there. There you see, the author of the Hebrews said, asked the readers of that letter to pray for them, to pray for him. And he says in Hebrews 13 verse 8, he says, 13 verse 18, he says, he made an appeal, he said, at the end of the letter, he said, pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. When the author of Hebrews asks the readers to pray for him, he didn't just say, pray for me. He said, because I have a good conscience. In other words, he was right before God. And so when we pray, we need to have a right attitude, right mind, and right life before him. That You know, in the Old Testament, the Israelites were told that, you know, it's not that God didn't listen to their prayers. It's not that God's arm is not long enough to stretch them and protect them and listen to them. But it is their sin which has deterred God from listening to their prayers. So here, the other thing that we need to do is when we come to pray and we want our prayers answered, I think we need to come before God and search ourselves. Is there any hindrance in me that prevents my close fellowship with Him? When we are praying, we're actually having fellowship to Him. We are talking to Him. So we need to come before Him with a good conscience. And in other words, a heart, an uncondemning heart, that you don't have sin in your heart. And you come to God, and God will gladly listen to you. So we need that sincerity. We need that truth in our prayers. So these two things, once we come to God in prayer, you need to have an obedient attitude to His word. We obey His word. And then we need to search ourselves to see if we are right with Him. If not, we come to God, His blood will cleanse us, confess our sins, confess our shortcomings. His blood will cleanse all our sins because He is faithful and He died once on the cross to redeem us from that awful nature. So these are the basic things which we need to have in our mind when we come to pray. And then, having understood that, I think we can, I want to particularly raise two issues this morning about praying, and also it relates to to a certain extent the way we attend, the how we pray at prayer meetings, at public corporate meetings, not only in our private prayers. There are two things which I thought is very relevant, and then somehow we need to be careful about, especially as I was thinking about our prayer meetings. Well, on Tuesday night I don't pray with you people, brothers and sisters in English. I was downstairs, but it is something which is going on very evidently these years, and I think we need to especially pay attention about it. And I hope whether that situation prevails in your prayers on Tuesday night or not, I don't know, but I hope not. But it's something that reminds us that we need to pay attention about. And the first thing is that we need to be, as we pray together, we need to be unanimous in our heart. You know, unanimity, you know, that we are all focusing ourselves on something in particular. And there, I think I would want you to turn to one passage in Matthew's chapter 18. Matthew's chapter 18 and verse 19. This is again what the Lord Jesus said Himself. Matthew's chapter 18. And verse 19. Jesus said he was talking about discipline and forgiveness in the church and agreement in prayer. And he said in verse 19, "Again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." Now, there's this word agree there. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree, I looked it up in the original Greek yesterday, and that word they use is the word that has the root of the word symphony. You know what symphony is in the music? And in order to have a good piece of music, whether it's in a symphony or in a choir, we need to have one, we need to have all everything playing together in harmony. If the flute wants to play one key and the trumpet wants to play another key or a violin another one, we won't have a symphony. And if the choir, all the four parts, won't sing together, we will have an awful choir. So a symphony is something which means that it is in absolute harmony that it makes good listening music, good music to hear. And the Lord said that if we substitute that word agree, then you say that the Lord is saying to us that if you, the two of you on earth can get together like the playing of a symphony, then, and ask me for anything, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. In other words, if there are two people or more than one together praying, you need to have this unanimous thought, focus on one thing, that your mind and the mind of the other person or all the person together are focused in one thought, that there are no, that it's not that when you and I are praying together or a group of brothers and sisters are praying together that each one has his own thought. Let's say that maybe the subject is the same. Maybe we're all praying about the gospel. Somebody is thinking something, another brother or sister is thinking about something else. There's no accord. And even though we are physically together praying, there's no harmony there. And that is not what the Lord is saying here. When he says that your praying must be like a symphony, everybody focused together on one subject, and then the Lord will listen to you. In other words, we must be of one mind. We have a single mind when we come and pray together. We have one common sound coming before the God. We have one simple purpose before the Lord. And that is what the Lord wants us to do. We must not each of us have something, some special thought of our own in our prayer. And that's how the Lord taught the disciples to pray. When we come before that throne of grace, we need to be very, very focused, together, harmonized, both in mind and in spirit. Otherwise we will not, the Lord is actually saying, otherwise we will not be able to claim an answer to our prayers. Here he says in the positive, of course, he said, again I say to you that if two of you agree, then it will be done. The other side of the way of saying that, if you two don't agree in spirit and in mind, then whatever you ask, the Father in heaven will not listen, will not answer you. So sometimes I think, you know, we pray for a long time for certain things and we don't seem to have an answer. It may perhaps, and I emphasize that perhaps, because it's not the only reason, it may perhaps be that we do not have the same mind, we do not have the same focus together. You can take a lesson there, you know, in the early church in Acts, when they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, what did the disciples do? They all continued two things, with one accord in prayer at one place. They all gathered at the same place, and they were praying with one accord. You can look at Acts chapter 1 and see what they say. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1 quickly. Acts chapter 1 verse 14. Acts Acts chapter 1, verse 14. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst. Sorry, no. 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So all these people were disciples were waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit, and they obey what the Lord told them to do, and they all continued with one accord in prayer and in one place too. So later on in chapter 2, you will see that when the day of Pentecost came, they were all with one accord and in one place. Turn the page and go to chapter 2 in the first verse there. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So not only their heart were in harmony, they were also gathering together to wait upon the Lord. And that's the attitude which we need to adopt today when we are praying. The Lord promised them that he will come back, and they continue to wait together. And whilst they wait together, they had this single mind of praying together with one mind, with one accord, in mind and in spirit. That is effective prayer. Yes, although they know that the Lord is going to send the Holy Spirit, but still, that was the reason for their prayers. And still, they came together. Not only they prayed, but they prayed in one place, and they prevailed and prayed with one accord. That's how they prayed, and that's a good example for us. In other words, their hearts and their minds were all solely agreed in one thing. Here we are praying for the coming of that power promised by God, the Holy Spirit. These were Christians. They were Christians, men and women like us. But they were completely absorbed with a single purpose. They were in complete accord, and there was harmony there, and they were doing it day by day, and they were doing it in a very earnest way. That is the unanimity which I'm talking about. You know, sometimes at our prayer meetings, no doubt we are praying on one particular subject, but each of us may have different thoughts at all hours of praying. Some may be drifting off, some may be thinking about the same subject in a different way. But the Lord wants us to learn this lesson. When we are together, whenever two is together, God is going to answer our prayers, but the thing is that we need to have the same mind and the same spirit. I'm sure that if we can learn that lesson, our prayers will be more effective, and it will please the Lord even much more. You know, this brings me back to the question, do we really sometimes do that in our prayer meeting? Do we not feel sometimes that, you know, the prayer meetings, there's a lack of this one accord, this one mind and spirit and in our midst? Sometimes we find that our prayer meetings are so formal, you know, it is a kind of formality which isn't quite in harmony with a prayer meeting. It is very formal. We can even sit around in a circle, and the first one on the right hand side will pray, and then the second one, the third one, the fourth one, it will go around. And after I've done my turn, that's the end of the prayer meeting for me. That is not with one accord. It is something we need to learn, and I think it's not an easy way to learn, but it is something we need to focus ourselves, you know, with one mind and with one accord means that we are praying together one subject. It is not your turn or my turn or his turn, or I pray once and that's finished. Well, if that is so, you might, after you pray, you go home. This is not what the Bible, the scripture teaches. We need to have this same mind together whilst we are praying in the same place. I think we do. I mean, having said that, I'm not saying that we don't pray earnestly. We do pray earnestly. But sometimes we feel that something was not quite right. Sometimes our prayers are not answered, and we would comfort ourselves and say, well, God is sovereign, He has His time, and He has His ways to answer our prayers, and He works according to His plan and according to His time. So, having that stuck in our hearts, our prayers gradually slack off. We are very earnest in praying about something. After a while, it seems that God didn't listen to us and say, well, God has His time, you know, God is sovereign. So He would answer in His own way. So we slacked off. But this is not what the disciples did. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit. They were waiting. They were praying until the day that Pentecost arrived. With one mind, a very focused mind, shall I say, until their prayers are answered. So I think we can take a lesson from them. Never slacken, because God has not answered. It doesn't mean that He will not answer, but He has not yet answered. And we need to continue to pray, because we know it is His promise that He said we can come to His throne of grace and find grace. So this is something that I think we need to think about. We can say, yes, God is sovereign and He will answer our prayers in His time, in His way. You see, unfortunately, that's not all the truth. You know, we say that this is the truth, all the truth, but not the whole truth. Yes, it is true. God is sovereign, it's true, but that's not the whole truth. And sometimes if you only know half the truth, that's the most dangerous thing. We need to think about the whole thing, not only half of the truth. A one-sided truth is a very dangerous thing. Sometimes we think that, well, yeah, this is truth. What is said is nothing but the truth. But we only knew a part, we only see a side of that truth. But if God says that He's going to answer us, answer our prayers, He's going to answer our prayers. And Jesus said, if two are gathered together in My name, and then agree together, He will do anything we ask, and it will be done by My Father in heaven. That is the promise, and that's the promise we have to lay hold of. I'm sure that if we pray in that way, there's nothing that can hinder the answer of our prayers. Because God has given us this guarantee. Whatever you ask, it will be done in heaven for you. Condition, with one mind, in symphony, in agreement. Then God will answer, sure to answer our prayers. So we don't need to sort of give up, you know, fold our arms in indifference or said, all right, that's it. We're not, this is how far I'm going. No. We need to get together with one accord, in one place, get down on our knees, and before Him, pour out our hearts to Him. As if, although we have so many together, we are praying as if there's one man, one, there's one there, offering a prayer to our Lord, pleading with Him, and I'm sure this will produce the result of what Jesus said in Matthew 18. Whatever we desire, it will be done in heaven. So, what is the lesson here? I think the lesson is very plain. As long as Christ is still on the throne, as long as He is still seated at the right hand of God, and as long as the Holy Spirit is still with us, dwelling in us, and as long as God's word, the scripture, is in our hearts. And as long as we have Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 in our hearts, I'm sure prayer meetings will not be dull. I'm sure prayer meetings will not be unprofitable. And because that is the Lord's promise. The Lord is so gracious that He had come down to the very smallest of plurality. Two, He said, you only need two, and then He will decide, make the point that whatever you pray, whatever you ask, it will get answered. Only two. So you have twice that four, twice that 8, 16, and so on. Of course God will answer our prayers. But we need to have that same mind and same heart together as we pray. So let us wait upon the Lord in one accord, and I'm sure that the blessing will come. Now the second thing is that we need to have confidence in our prayers. And there, if you turn just to the next chapter there, Matthew chapter 21. Let's turn to Matthew 21. And verse 22. Matthew 21, verse 22. We need to have that confidence in our prayers. Sometimes we pray and we waver. I don't know if God is going to answer this. But as we pray, we ought to have that trust in the Lord. And verse 22 in Matthew 21, it says, "And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." If the Lord said that the two persons agreed to ask can have whatever they ask, why do we not see that we can have more abundant answers to our prayers? Here it says that whatever things you ask in prayer, there's one condition, that you have to have that confidence that you believe that God will do it, that God's promise, God is faithful. If He has said something, He will perform it, if we do our part. So if you agree and pray in one accord, one mind together, then Matthew 22 tells us, add one thing, if you pray believing, then you will receive it. So that is the other, condition that we need to have in our prayers, that when we pray, we need to believe that God will listen to our prayers. Sometimes, very often we pray and we don't believe that God will answer our prayers. We just pray, hopefully, if God is happy today with me, well, he will answer. No, God didn't say that. If you believe, if you trust in God, and you pray with that trusting, believing heart, God is going to listen to our prayers. There's a parable which the Lord told to the disciples in Luke chapter 11. I'm sure you all know, you don't have to go flip to that, but if you don't know, it's in chapter 11 and verse 5 onwards. And it deals with a man who had a visitor, And it was very late at night, and that visitor probably didn't have a dinner or anything to eat. And so he went to his next door neighbor and knocked on the door late at night and said, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves. And that friend, it was so late at night that the reply from that friend was very disappointing. In chapter 11, verse 5, verse 7, it said, this guy was inside the house. He even refused to open the door. He said, "Don't trouble me. The door is shut. My children are in bed with me. And I cannot get up and give what you want to you." Is that unreasonable? I think, well, difficult to say. But somehow, this fellow insisted, and he will not go away. And the moral of that parable, the Lord said, is, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and you will be opened to you. This man was very sure that, you know, if he just continue, he won't go away until he gets it. He will have it. And in the end, he had it. He believed that he had a trust in this thing, that I trust my friend. He's my friend, even though it's late, even though he says he's in a bed. I trust that if I just persist, I will have. See, his prayer is very short. He didn't have a long speech and tell and say, "Well, you're my friend, and friend in need, you have to help him," and all that kind of thing. He just said very short thing. He said, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves. I don't know if you ever have tried to borrow something from other people. Is it that short way? Often we'll think of a story, think of all the reasons, and then we come to him and say, blah, 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 blah. And then at the end, he said, "That's what I want." But this man is very, very straightforward. His prayer, his request is very short and sweet. "Friend, I need 3 loaves. And that's all he said. But you see, that, why did he do that? Because he had great confidence in his friend. Today when we pray, I think sometimes we lack. Not only that we don't have the same mind as we pray together, we also do not have that confidence in our prayer. Sometimes we doubt and we wonder, is God going to answer this prayer of mine? When we have a positive need before the Lord, and we pray, as I said early on, that we have that confidence in us, our conscience is clear, we have a mind which does not condemn us, and we come to the Lord in that kind of mind, the Lord is going to answer. We have to trust, we have to believe. That's why believing in our prayers is very, very important as well. We have to have that confidence. This guy just said, "I want 3 loaves. More or less he said, "My case is very urgent. Give it to me." He did not wander away from one point to the other. It was night and that guy was in bed, but he has that confidence in him. He believes that his friend will help him. And in the end, he got it. So two things here which I think we see. One is that precise request. Our prayers need not to be long. You know, sometimes we ramble on and on and on with a very long prayer, And at the end of your prayer, all the others either have fallen asleep or have their thoughts wander off to some faraway places. Our prayers need to be very precise, to the point. We don't have to say a lot to God. He knows our hearts. Even before we pray, He knew what we needed. But He delights in His children coming to Him and asking. But we need to pray with trust, with that belief. And the Lord here reminds us that, you know, you'll get what you ask if you pray believing. And we need to believe, and it need to only to be very precise. Don't have to be long. Sometimes we... this is a very sad situation. Sometimes at prayer meeting, the prayer of a person, a brother or sister, is so long that by the end of the prayer, not only are we wandering off, and I think if the Lord appeared to this person at the end of his or her prayer, the Lord might ask him, "Look here, my dear child, what really do you want to ask me about? It's so long and so rambling around all over the place that there's no focus. They don't. It is not precise, that the Lord wouldn't even know what you're asking about." You see, "My child, what do you want me to? You pray a long prayer, and what do you want me to? What is your prayer about?" That's sometimes the feeling I have, you know, that really makes a prayer meeting dull and distracted. But this fellow in this parable here, he was very short. "I need 3 loaves. The situation is very important, very urgent. Friend, give me 3 loaves. So long prayers are to be avoided. It's often very wearisome. Of course, on the other hand, having said this, we must not sort of limit the Holy Spirit. We must not limit the Holy Spirit by sort of prescribing Him a time limit. We must not say that, okay, you can only pray for 1 minute or 2 minutes or 3 minutes or even 10 minutes. No, the Holy Spirit leads us in prayer, and we must not sort of prescribe any type of resemblance of a time limit for a person to pray. But if you come back to the scriptures and find examples of prayer of all the saints and all the people in there, we find those prayers which are listened to by the Lord, by God, are all very precise and short. We can find it, you know, the Lord taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer. It's not a long prayer, it's very short, isn't it? Of just a few verses. Then we have the Lord Himself praying to the Father for the disciples and for the believers in John 17, the high priestly prayer. It's not a long prayer. And every word that was uttered has a point there. It's precise. Everybody knew what it was. And other examples, you know, Peter and John were released from prison in chapter 3, is it chapter 3 or chapter 4 of Acts, after they were arrested, they came up, they prayed, and they praised God, and they asked God to give them confidence to go out and continue to witness for the risen Lord. It was all very short. All these prayers are very short. So we need one to remember when we pray, we need to be precise. We need to be to the point and not rambling, so that they become wearisome. And the second one is perseverance, as I just said. Aside, we need to have confidence, and that means that we need to be very precise and to the point. We know what we are asking. And the second thing is that we need to have perseverance. This particular man, he succeeded by purely being insistent and earnest. when the reply came and said that, sorry, it's late, you know, don't bother me, the door is locked, I'm in bed with my child, don't want to wake them up, so just go away. But he didn't go away. He persisted, and so his friend in the end gave him as many as he needs. He said, that's a wonderful thing, right? He asked for, give me 3 loaves. At first the reply was, no, not the right time. Then he probably stayed and keep on knocking. And in the end, his friend was, all right, I have to get up because he's not going to go away. And he gave him more than 3. He gave him more. So you see how the Lord sometimes answers our prayer. We ask for something and what we get back is even more abundant. Just like the life he gave us in John, he said that he came to give us life, and not only life, but life more abundant. So in our prayers, we can see results also. Not only would he give us what we ask, and very often he'll give us even more than we had hoped for. So this matter of perseverance should be very much in our prayers. So you will say, well, the question is then how far should we go? This guy, for example, was insistent, but how far would he go? Could he go all the way and stay there all night? Obviously not. And how far, so in our prayers, when we ask something, how far should we go? I don't think I have a sweeping answer for you, because our prayers are always led by the Holy Spirit. He will enlighten us in our own hearts when we should stop. There's no rule. It may be different in me, it may be different in you, or it may be different even in me on different occasions. The point is that just like the hymn we just sung, what a friend we have in Jesus. He knows whether we are annoyed, whether we are happy, he knows, and he knows when we have prayed enough, and he will let us know. Because he is the one who will guide us in our prayers as well. You know, there's a good example in the case of Paul. You remember, he once said he was lifted to the heavens, seven heavens, and there was something in him which he prayed for the Lord to take away. And he prayed 3 times, and then he knew, somehow the Holy Spirit showed him, that's enough. 3 times is enough, and he stopped. So the Holy Spirit will always lead us as to when, how far we could go, when we should stop. But we need, on our part, that perseverance. Keep on praying, because he is a friend. We have a friend in Jesus. He knows all our situations, when we're happy, when we're annoyed, what we need, how much we need, when do we need it. He knows all about it. All we need is that confidence in us. And that means when we have confidence, we have that persistence on the one hand, and we also have that trust on the other hand. And here, so in Matthew 12, we see that believe and you will get. And you persist, you will get in that parable. I think the trouble today is that we have a set lack of this perseverance in our prayers. We pray for a little while, forget about it, and then move on to other things. We also lack a definite object, the lack of the definiteness of our prayers. And this too, the clear of our subject of prayer and the perseverance will go together. Sometimes at the beginning, this idea can be very vague, but as we go on and continue to pray, all these things will get clearer. We'll be able to understand the mind and the heart of the Lord. We need to be precise, I think, also. Sometimes, I hate to say this, but sometimes our prayers are so long that we become a teaching prayer. You're not praying, you are teaching the others there around. You're giving them a message. That's something we need to avoid. The preciseness is what it is. As I come back to that man and said, give me 3 loaves, that's all you need. You don't have to preach. Say, the Lord said that this, therefore you have to give me 3 loaves. No, you don't have to do that, you are preaching. Sometimes our prayer cross the line and go into that. We listen to brothers and sisters pray sometimes, and we find that he is not actually praying, he is preaching to us. He is giving us a message, and that's not the nature of prayer. There are a lot of things we can say about prayer, but we don't have time to do that. But I hope that by our sharing this morning, that we really, it really bring to our attention and notice that there are so many areas that we can improve on. Now, before I close, I think, having said all these, let us not come to a very negative conclusion and say that, well, if prayer meetings are like this, then we may as well stay away from prayer meetings. If there are so many pitfalls and so many things, then we might as well stay home because it will not benefit us. I think this is certainly not the conclusion that we want to draw, and I don't want anyone to draw that kind of conclusion this morning. Just because we need to pay attention to all these things, and you said, well, it is too difficult. It is, if prayer meetings are like that, then we might as well stay home and not come. Why should I waste my hour to no effect? You remember the Lord told us another parable in Luke chapter 18, a little later on in that gospel, and that parable starts with the words, "Men always ought to pray and not lose heart." Not lose heart. He was telling another parable there, and he said, you must not lose heart when you pray. Don't think that because it's sometimes there are so many imperfections in our prayers that we will lose heart. No. Man must not lose heart. Man always ought to pray and not lose heart. If it's God's desire for his children to gather together in one place and in one accord to pray to him, we must pray and not lose heart. Even though things are not as it ought to be, even things are not as we want, we feel helpful, we must not lose heart and we must continue to pray. We need to continue to come to the throne of grace and ask the Lord what we want. Two hearts praying in harmony is a very precious thing in the eye of God. In the wisdom books, a writer, Solomon, used very simple examples. He said that, you know, two person lying together is warmer than one. And he also said that two cords put together, twisted together, is stronger than one. In other words, if we have two persons praying together, it's always better than just one person praying together. That's why we need to come to our prayer meetings. If two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? That's what King Solomon said. You know, if you have two cords twisted together, it must be stronger than one cord. This is common sense for us. And so the Lord says that it is the same with prayers. If we have several hearts in one accord praying together, it is always better than just one person praying together. We may have to stay very long in the state of expectancy, but we shall find that it will be very profitable for our souls to learn how to pray together. So let us not be discouraged about the state of our prayer and our prayer meetings and so on, but to continue to look to the Lord. His promise is sure and certain that it will never fail and He will never withdraw it. We will continue to learn how to pray, and in time, as we have this humble heart before Him, that certainty that He is listening to our prayer and He will answer our prayers, we will see the result of our prayer. And Paul, I think we can end with a verse for Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, where he was talking about the full armor of God when Christians went out to fight for Him. He ended with, in chapter 6, verse 18, I'll just read this for you, save you to. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, he said, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praying always with all prayer and supplication, with all perseverance and supplication. And also, he told the Colossians the same thing, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, with prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. That is what the Lord desires in His children as far as prayer is concerned. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we need to really learn how to pray to You. Prayers that will certainly be pleasing to You. Prayers that will receive answers. And yet, Lord, we ask that we will learn step by step, slowly, how to come before this throne of grace to obtain the need that we have, and we are sure that Your answers will be even more abundant than we have asked for. So Lord, we thank You for giving us this privilege, and we pray that You continue to teach us how to pray and how not to pray and what kind of prayer is pleasing in Your ears. Lord, we thank You in Your most precious name. Amen.